I'm Georgie Crawford. You're listening to the Good Glow podcast. Throughout my treatment for breast cancer, I've realised the importance of self-care. Whether it's a trip to the gym, a checkup with your GP, or even a 5-minute meditation, the time has come for us to put ourselves higher on our own to-do list. I'll speak to people who remind us to take better care of ourselves. And what better way to take care of ourselves than to understand more about our bodies? This series, I've teamed up with Fitbit. Fitbit allows you to get to know yourself better and understand your health with insights that are unique to you. As I always say, knowledge is power, and Fitbit provides data about your health and well-being to help empower and support you in leading a balanced and healthy lifestyle. I'm so happy to have Fitbit on board, as my Fitbit helps keep me focused and on track with my goals and training. Being partnered with Fitbit is inspiring, as they're encouraging everyone to make positive changes, and I hope this podcast does too. Today on the Good Glow podcast, it's just me by myself. So at the end of season two, I did a Q&A, and lots of people said they really enjoyed listening to it because it was just me on my own talking about my life. And I know on my podcast, it's always about my guests. So I am, you know, pretty nervous to do one by myself again. So I put it out on Instagram and I asked people if they had any questions to send them in to me. So I've compiled a list of about 20 questions here and I hope to get through them this afternoon. So first of all, I was asked how I got through the whole Late Late Show experience. They said that they were asked to go on the Late Late in May, but they were too scared, so they said no. So basically, this came up in September, I think. One of the researchers reached out to me and she said, you know, would I consider coming on and telling my story with two other cancer survivors? And obviously, I was very nervous about it. I'm used to radio, I'm used to microphones, but I'm not really used to TV. So had a chat to Jamie and we decided that, you know, it would be a great platform to spread the message of checking yourself and to let people know that breast cancer does happen to women under 50. So I said yes. And I think we were supposed to do it around the time of the Grey Pink Run in Chicago, but it got pushed out to the 1st of November. And I remember I was quite nervous last week. And so what I did was I booked myself into a spa just for a couple of hours of getting my head together the day before. So I went up to the Rainforest Spa in Enniskerry, which is quite near my house. And in that spa, you can kind of look out at the mountains and the trees. And I knew that's just what I needed that day. So I went up and I had a gorgeous facial there. And I just took a bit of me time and a bit of time to chill, which is something that I would have never have done before I got sick. I was always just go, go, go. So I felt like it was really important to take some time out to remember why I was doing the show and to really think about what message I wanted to get across. Then I went into like a full 24 hours of getting ready, like tan, nails, hair, everything. And on the day, I was getting my makeup done at around 6:30 in the evening in my house by Danielle Marr, who was amazing. And she's quite a spiritual person. So we had a good chat as well, which was lovely. And the taxi came for us at 8:30 and we were in RT by 9:00 and we weren't on air until 11:15. So we were hanging out in the green room. I met the other girls and Shannon told me that she was going to go out without her wig on. And at the time she was wearing her wig in the green room. So she went off to get her makeup done and she came back in and she walked into the room without her wig. And no one batted an eyelid, which was so lovely. I went over and I gave her a big hug and I told her that I didn't think that I would have been able to do something so brave when I was in treatment. I find it easier to share photos of myself with no hair now, but at the time when I didn't have hair, I would have found it very, very difficult. And I just felt like it was such a selfless act that she was going out to show the real side of cancer. Just thought she looked so beautiful and even nicer without the wig. And I used to hate when people say that to me. But her eyes were beautiful and her skin is so gorgeous. And yeah, I thought it was really, really admirable. So Shannon and Mary, was so great to go out with them. But we were standing backstage ready to go out. And I could hear the Late Late Show music coming back from the ads, and I nearly fainted. I was like, oh my God, I cannot believe how scared I am. But Ryan had come out to us beforehand and told us, you know, not to be scared and that everyone was on our side. And he really reassured us. So it was very, very enjoyable and a lovely experience. But I was glad it was over. The next question here is, what's your ideal me time? So Jamie thinks I'm crazy because I love going to the spa to get facials. And he's always like, you just love people rubbing your face. Because my mum used to do that to me when I was smaller. She always used to rub my face. So maybe that's where my love of getting a facial came from. So that is number one ideal me time. I love going to the spa because it's just silence and you get time to just reflect and think and calm down and be grateful for everything in your life. I went to a healer last week called Sinead out in Druids Glen, and she was reading my energy. I was quite nervous going into it because I was in the middle of my scans and I didn't want her to pick up on negativity. And I was quite, like, I suppose, guarded going in. And she read my energy and she picked up on a few little stresses that I had. She said, like, that I overthink things, that I have self-doubt, that I'm running around all the time. And she was getting quite a stressed vibe off me. And she asked me what I do to ground myself. And I thought about it for a minute and I said, well, you know, I go running and I go to an exercise class on a Tuesday. But the more I thought about it, that is, you know, it is great to do those things to connect with yourself and to exercise. And but what she really meant was, what do I do to just take time for me in silence? And I've really let the meditation go recently. When I was in treatment, I used to just sit out my back garden for a couple of minutes a day, or when Pio went for a nap, and just take time for myself and let my thoughts flow and really reflect on what was going on. And I haven't done that for a very long time. And I suppose after I went to see Sinead on Monday, I was like, I really need to do that more. I need to just do nothing. And it's funny, like, you always promise yourself that after cancer, you will slow down and appreciate life so much more, but it's easy to get caught up in the madness again. So it was nice to get a reminder that I need more time to just connect with myself, and I will be definitely doing that going forward. Another question here, how do I manage stress? This is an interesting one. And I said to Jamie a couple of weeks ago, I don't know if I'm stressed again, because I left my job in the summer because I didn't want to be stressed anymore. And he said, Georgie, I don't think you're stressed. I think you're just busy. And that was lovely, because actually, I'm not that stressed anymore about the day to day things. I do get stressed about scans and appointments and things like that. But day to day, I'm really quite calm now. If you listen to my podcast with Miriam Hussey, she speaks about stress and how when our bodies are in fight or flight mode, how our bodies don't have the time or the space to function properly. So I'm really conscious of that. So if you haven't listened to my podcast with Miriam, I definitely recommend that one. And myself and Miriam will hopefully do something together next year and we can talk more about that. How do I stay motivated to eat healthy food? Well, this started, I suppose, during chemo. I really changed my diet in terms of vegetable and fruit intake. That's around the time when I started my target of 5 to 7 portions of fruit and veg a day. And I call them my healthy habits. Another healthy habit that I have is to drink 2 liters of water a day, which I haven't been great at recently, but I'm definitely more aware of it and trying to keep on top of it this week. When I eat bread and things like that with not much nutrients in it, I definitely feel more tired. I feel puffier. I don't feel like I sleep as well. But if I do have a bad day, and I've had a couple of bad days over the last week, so I've been eating a lot of crumpets. They're like my downfall in life. So if I do have a bad day, I just start again the next day. I just surrender to it and I try not to beat myself up too much about it. I don't really do like smoothies or juices or anything like that. I'll have like a couple of portions of fruit a day, like I'll eat a lot of melon and orange and things like that. And then for my dinner, I'll always have like a sweet potato or chickpeas and spinach and lots of salad. And I try to eat a lot of carrots as well. And I do feel that eating those sort of foods make me feel really good. They make me feel very energetic and ready to face the day and feeling well and knowing that I'm doing the best I can to stay healthy. What are my top self-care tips? One of my biggest self-care tips is that it's okay to accept help. I think when I first had Pia, I was always trying to do everything for her because I wanted to be the best mom and I wanted to do everything for her. My mum was always in my house and always helping me, but I really just gave myself a bit of a hard time. So my top self-care tips are that it's okay to hand your child over to someone in your family who wants to help you. Another question, how do I deal with anxiety around my health? Well, the number one thing that I had to do to tackle this was get counselling. I couldn't do it myself, and I wanted to learn really healthy ways of dealing with my anxiety. Before I went to counseling, if I had a negative thought, I used to imagine myself punching it away, or I would replace that thought with a happy thought. And when I went to counseling, I realized that I wasn't actually acknowledging how I felt. And that is really important. So if I felt scared or if I felt angry, to accept and acknowledge that. And that was really a new technique for me. One night I went to counseling and it was around the time of a scan. And I just said to my counselor that this movie was playing out in my head and I was imagining that my cancer was coming back and I was going to die. And she said, "What does your gut tell you?" And I said, "My gut tells me that I'm fine and my cancer is gone and that I'm absolutely perfectly healthy." So she separated my anxious self from myself, Georgie. And she said, "What is your anxious self trying to do for you?" And I said, "Well, that anxious part of me is trying to prepare me for the worst. It's trying to break my fall and it's trying to help me prepare for the worst. But my true self knows that I'm well and that I'm okay and that I don't need this anxious version of myself taking over." So it was a really useful exercise. And now when I feel anxious, I try to imagine it as something separate to me. And I thank it for trying its best to prepare me for the worst. But I just say, "No, I know in my gut that I'm well. Thank you, anxiety, but I don't need you anymore." That's how it works for me. I'm not sure if that makes sense. But as I said, definitely if you have anxiety around health, to maybe go and see a counselor because they will give you techniques on how to deal with it. Before I got cancer, I would always have anxiety around my health. And in fact, those anxieties and those fears, they don't make you well. So it's really important to deal with it. How do I stay positive? my family keep me positive. Jamie keeps me positive. I really felt around the time when I got sick and I couldn't really do it by myself that everybody else really helped me. Positive affirmations, reading self-help books really helped. And just talking about my feelings, like sometimes I would, myself and Jamie will be sitting on the couch and I'll just start like staring at the wall and just feeling like quite negative about things. And he'll always be able to catch me. He'll always say, "What are you thinking about?" And I'll say, "Oh, I'm just thinking about what if the cancer comes back and, you know, what if I'm not around for Pia?" And he'll bring me back to the facts. Your cancer was removed. You had chemotherapy. You had radiotherapy. You're getting checked all the time. You check yourself all the time. And these positive statements really helped me step away from that kind of dark hole that I'm about to fall into and keep me focused on what is real. So it's really important to have people around you who are, who know you so well and can really help you stay positive. Why did I leave 98FM? It wasn't an easy decision for me. I really wanted to go back to work after I got sick because that's what was normal. And I suppose when I was going through treatment, that was my focus. Just get back to work. Just get back to work. When I get back to work, everything will go back to normal. And I went back to work in October 2018 and it really didn't feel normal. I felt like I had gone backwards in so many ways. And I was really open and honest with everyone that I worked with. And I think everybody was really aware of how I was feeling and that definitely helped. I remember one day I thought I found a lump in my shoulder. And I jumped out of my chair and my colleague, Susan Keogh, who was sitting beside me, looked over and she said, "Georgie, did you just fall off your chair?" I said, "I think there's a lump. And we ran into a studio and my friend Brendan came in too. And before I knew it, I was in my bra and they were checking me for lumps. And that's how I knew that I was surrounded by people who had my back. And they talked me down off the ledge and I came out and finished work and drove home. And we established that it was actually just my shoulder blade. And I rang Jamie and I said, "Oh God, Jamie, I had such an awful day in work. I thought I found a lump and it's actually just my shoulder." And Jamie said, "We had that conversation that happened to you 4 months ago. Do you not remember?" I said, "No, I don't." And he said, "Yeah, that same thing happened to us sitting on the couch 4 months ago." And that evening I actually had counselling and I told my counsellor, I said, "It's so weird. I didn't remember that in the moment." And she said, "It's because you were so shocked that you don't think logically and you can't remember things that happened and you just got yourself into a state." So I remember when I went back, I had to be in work at like 5:30, 5:45. So I was getting up at like 4:30, 4:45. And I was just so tired and I was digging deep every single day to get through it. And I'd finish work at 1:00, I'd collect Pia at 2:00, and then I'd mind her until Jamie came home from work, and I'd be in my mum's or be in my mother-in-law's just kind of hanging out, and they'd obviously help me a lot. But I was really, really tired and I just felt like I was going backwards and I felt like I was getting to a point where I was just as tired as I was before I got sick and burning the candle at both ends. And I had this amazing podcast that I was doing on the side and it brought so much joy to my life and so much positivity. And I was learning so much from all my guests. And then I was going to work and I was talking about murders and stabbings and cancer because I worked in the newsroom every single day for 7 hours a day. And I just felt like it was very negative. Now, before I got sick, I could talk about those things all day long and it wouldn't affect me. But it did affect me after I'd been through so much and I couldn't really detach from it. So I applied for parental leave just to see how I'd feel. And we went to Spain for 3 weeks and I brought this book, The Universe Has Your Back, that my friend Claire Solon bought me when I was in chemo. And I hadn't read, I tried to read it a few times, but it didn't really feel like the right time for me. But it felt like the right time to read that book during the summer. And I read it and everything was just becoming more and more clear every day that I needed to keep moving forward with my life and I needed to go out on my own and focus on the podcast. And in that book, Gabby Bernstein is her name. She says, ask for a sign from the universe. If you're struggling with a decision, ask for a sign. So I was like, oh God, what will my sign be? And I remember I was sitting beside the pool and I was like, okay, what will my sign be? And then I was like, I can't actually think of one. And then the next line in the book was, don't overthink it. So I was like, okay, my sign is Oprah. And then I was like, oh no, like I get messages about Oprah's book every day. And, you know, I see quotes from her online because, you know, I talk about her so much. I was like, no, that's just too obvious. So I said, okay, where do I never see Oprah? And I thought, I never see Oprah on Netflix because she's not in any movies at the moment and she doesn't have a show and blah, blah, blah. So I said, okay, I'll make it really hard for myself and I'll pick Oprah on Netflix. So that evening, Jamie was, I don't know where he went to the shop or something. And I was sitting on the couch and I flicked on Amazon Prime. And I said, okay, well, if Oprah's on Amazon, I was so sure that she wasn't on Netflix. I said, if she's on Amazon, well, then that's kind of the same thing. So I went through like 80 films on Amazon. I was like, maybe it'll be one of her old movies will be on Amazon. And there was no sign of Oprah. So I kind of surrendered and I went, okay, well, maybe I'll get a sign in a couple of days. So I went to turn on Netflix because I couldn't find anything I wanted to watch on Amazon. And when I turned on Netflix, there on the homepage was Oprah's face and I nearly fell off my chair. I'd never in my life seen Oprah on Netflix. I'd never even heard of her doing anything for Netflix. And there she was interviewing these five guys who had gone to jail. I think they were called the Central Park Five. And this new show was out that she was interviewing them and it was on Netflix. I literally couldn't speak. Jamie came back. I didn't tell him. And the next day we were sat down for breakfast and I said, Jamie, I asked for a sign and I got it. And he said, what was your sign? I said, Oprah on Netflix. And I know that sounds so stupid, but he's not really into that sort of stuff. And he was like, yeah, whatever. And he asked for us, he said to the universe, okay, if this stuff is true, I'll see a red Ferrari today. We were staying in Estepona, where you don't see a lot of Ferraris around there. You see them down the road in Marbella, but not around where we were staying. And that evening we were walking down to dinner, just literally a 5 minute walk from the apartment. And there zoomed by a red Ferrari and Jamie looked at me and he said, Georgia, I don't believe it. And I said, what? He said, I asked for a sign. I said that I'd see a red Ferrari today if this is all true. And he goes, and there is one. So anyway, that was kind of the push I needed. I know it sounds so crazy that I left my job after those signs, but I really felt like the universe was screaming at me to focus on my podcast full time and to take this bet on myself. And I really felt like the universe was pushing me in this direction. And for so long, I didn't listen. And I finally felt like I was listening. So I came home and I quit my job. And everyone was very supportive of my decision. And it was the best thing I ever did. I absolutely love everyone in 98FM. I'm so fond of all my memories there and I'll never forget them. But I do not regret leaving for one second because I just needed to do it for myself. Who has been my favorite podcast guest? Well, I get something out of every single guest and I learn lessons from everyone. So many people stand out and I don't like to single anyone out because I'm so grateful to every single person for coming on my podcast. Alison Canavan, in the first season when she spoke about what are we not saying yes to, really is something that I think about every single day. I feel really well when I'm around people. And you know the way something might be hanging over you and you're like, oh God, I really need to see that person. And then they come to your house or you meet them for lunch and you walk away and you're like, I am so glad I met that person. Denise Kenny spoke about this during the week, about actually getting out of your WhatsApp groups and going to meet your friends and spending time with them and how good that can make you feel. So Alison Canavan saying that really changed my perspective on a lot of things in my life. This season, I suppose, Ciarán Byrne was insane. Like, so many people have stopped me in supermarkets, in Dundrum, you know, when I meet family friends, and they will say, like, that podcast, the way he handled that. And so many women have sent their husbands for health checks after listening to it and have told me about it. Like, people stopping me in the street and going, by the way, I sent my husband off for, I think Ciarán called it an NCT. Loads of people have done that. So that, like, meant the world to me. And I think a lot of men actually listened to that podcast. So it was nice. Darren O'Leary, of course, speaking about smears was so important. I got so many messages from people saying they'd book smears after listening to that podcast. Jen's journey, so many messages this week about people starting to exercise more and focusing more on what they're eating. And Nadia talking about her IVF story, like, still get messages about that podcast to this day, about her gorgeous twins. And it was just such a happy podcast. And then amazing people like Donal Skeen, who, you know, doesn't have to do my podcast, you know, comes home to Ireland. I drop him a message and then 3 hours later, we're sitting down together. I'm so grateful to everyone who has been on my podcast and, you know, helped me make it what it is. Miriam speaking about the 900 months on earth and how we choose to live it. So many people have contributed so much and really changed how we all think about things. Top tips for energy, definitely nutrition, definitely eating fruit and veg, lots of water, and exercising gives me so much energy and really gets the endorphins going and makes me feel so much happier. Like, if I wake up and I feel sluggish and in a really bad place mentally, and I do still have those days, I won't make any decisions or do anything unless I do 30 minutes of exercise. And once I do that, even if it's just a brisk walk, I feel so much clearer about things and able to focus more and feel a lot more positive. And that really can transform your day, just a half an hour. I'll get back to that conversation with myself in just a minute. But first, I wanted to give you the latest update on how I'm getting on with my Fitbit Versa 2. Like me, Fitbit are all about healthy habits. Positive habits are so important for achieving balance and good health. My goals are to drink more water, to eat well, and to exercise often. I logged these goals and my Fitbit has helped to keep me on top of trying to achieve them. I also love the personalized breathing sessions where I can take a few minutes out every day to just relax. One of the biggest impacts my Fitbit has had on my life is that I no longer sleep beside my phone. I always had my phone close by for my alarm and to tell the time, but now I have a Fitbit that can do both. I now leave my phone on the other side of the room, which stops me scrolling when I get into bed. For me, this is a game changer. As well as other handy features like the always on display, Fitbit Pay, and being able to control Spotify from my wrist, my Fitbit is for sure making my life easier. Now, back to the podcast. Do you think cancer caused a shift from existing to living? This is such a good question, and I absolutely believe in this. Before cancer, I was working in Spain, and I absolutely loved my job and really believed in the station and, you know, what we were trying to achieve. But I was definitely in freeze mode, and somebody told me about this recently. So freeze mode is where you're like too scared to do anything, and I think lots of people suffer from that. I was too scared to kind of, I always wanted to work for myself, or was always like thinking about products I could bring out or like cool things I could invent. I was always just full of ideas for Jamie, but too scared to do anything about it. So I suppose when I got sick and I realized that we just have one shot at it and time is going past very quickly and that no one's going to do it for you unless you do it for yourself, that's when I went from existing to living. And I say, I do wellness talks, and one of the first things I say in my wellness talks is that happiness creates success. And what does that actually mean? When I had time for myself, when self-care and wellness became a big priority for me, I went away for a full year while I was in treatment, and I worked on myself every single day. Instead of scrolling on my phone, I read books. Instead of sitting at home watching the TV, I got out and I went for small walks in the park, surrounded myself with nature, really focused on myself and got to know myself better and learned what I was capable of, and saw that, hey, like my body can deal with all this chemotherapy. My bloods are bouncing back every week. I am stronger than I think I am, and I am capable of more than I ever thought I was. And also the positivity. When all of this positivity kicked in, I really couldn't believe how much of a positive person I actually was underneath it all, and how much I loved life. Jamie like slags me all the time now that I want to go for hikes, because before I got sick, I never wanted to go outside because I was always cold, which is like ridiculous. And when I say that to people, people laugh because they're like, oh my God, I'm exactly like that. I don't want to go outside because I'll get cold. And now I'll wake up in the morning and say, okay, like let's walk from Bray to Greystones, or let's do a hike. And Jamie's like, I literally don't recognize you. And yeah, that is going from existing to living and pushing the boundaries and putting yourself out there and taking a bet on yourself. And that year made me happy. And I discovered so much about myself. And then that happiness started creating my success. And I got out of freeze mode. Do you feel pressured to be a certain way now to represent breast cancer survival in a certain way? I definitely don't. I think everybody is very understanding that every cancer is different and everyone deals with them in a certain way. I've never felt judged with how I dealt with my cancer. And I know it's so different for everyone else. Like I felt so lucky that I was given really hopeful news from my doctors. And when I said, you know, will I die? My doctor said it's very unlikely. And that really helped me stay positive. And I didn't kind of bury my head in the sand. I just really wanted to kind of stare the cancer in the face and deal with it my own way. I don't feel like I need to represent breast cancer in a certain way. I've got a lot of friends who are survivors of breast cancer, and we all deal with it in a separate way. Some girls want to share their story. Some would hate to share their story. Some would love to go on the late, late. Some would hate it. So I don't judge other people, and I don't feel like I'm judged. I always say that in terms of social media, I've never, ever gotten any sort of backlash. And I feel very lucky that people are just so nice to me and really respectful of my journey. And I appreciate that so much. Describe your typical day. Well, since we got a puppy, our typical day is hectic, Piper is 3 months old, but she hasn't got all of her injections yet, so we can't bring her out to the park or anything like that. So we're pretty housebound at the moment. So Pia wakes up at around 7:30, 8 o'clock, get her up. We let Piper out and she's getting much faster at going out and doing her wees. So I'm not standing in the garden for like 40 minutes anymore. So we bring her out, and then Pia has her porridge and Dew's toast. So she calls my stepdad Dew, because when she was born, he was always singing to her, but like singing like Dew, 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 Dew. The A-Team soundtrack. So she calls him Dew. So Dew makes her toast. So it's Dew's toast and Dew's donuts and Dew's everything else. So we have porridge and Dew's toast, and I'll try to get a little bit of fruit into her. Then I will drop her to creche, come home, either do a short little run or go to my exercise class. Usually sit down. I work with this amazing company called Outset. My manager's name is Dave, and I usually have a couple of emails from him that they're really great at just taking all the stress off me and dealing with all my commercial stuff, so I can just focus on my podcast and just, you know, focusing on positive things during the day, like exercise and looking after Pia. So they've taken a lot of work off me. So I'll check in with Dave, usually do a little bit of a workout, sit down, do, you know, whatever, if I have admin to do or thinking about the next season of the podcast and planning things, collect Pia at 3 o'clock. And then I'm usually finished work by that stage. I don't normally have to do much more. And that's when I focus on dinner. It's kind of a bit of a mess in our house. So Jamie eats meat during the week. I don't. So it's like all these separate dinners, which is a terrible way to live. And I know I need to like focus on tackling that in the new year and making a new plan. And then in the evening, I try not to do any sort of work. We put Pia down. She has a bath every night at around 7:15. We put her to bed at 7:30, 8 o'clock, and then myself and Jamie usually sit down and watch something. I'm obsessed with The Apprentice, so I long for Wednesdays to watch that. I love watching Spencer and Vogue on a Monday, and we're usually watching some sort of box set that we'll put on as well. So yeah, we just kind of chill, and I try not to sit on the couch at night anymore and stuff my face with chocolate, which is what I used to do. So I'll have a kind of sleepy tea or something, and maybe a bit of dark chocolate just to tackle those cravings, or a bit of hummus and some crackers. I try not to eat too much past 8 o'clock, just to give my body a chance to just rest. How do I select my podcast guests? Well, this is a funny one. I kind of just go with the flow, which I know is not probably the best way to do things. I have this huge list of people that I'd love to be on my podcast, and then I will maybe record 3 or 4 at the start of a season, so I have a bit of a batch. And then I'll be like, okay, I think this week I need a kind of self-care lover, and then I'll find someone and get them on. Like Sarah Shannon was just amazing this season. I loved our podcast together. And I think that happened like the day before we recorded. My friend Blanche told me about her, and I was like, she is exactly who I need this week. So I made it happen. And she was so kind to give up her time and come in so soon. So yeah, I just kind of go with the flow, which isn't probably something that Dave wants to hear. But yeah, I just kind of really, I feel very connected to my podcast. So I feel like I know where it needs to go next. What is your top tip for beautiful skin? I feel like my skin has transformed since I got sick, and that is due to a lot of hard work that I've put into it. Number one is diet and water. I never ever drank 2 liters of water a day before I got sick, and I was so determined to do it when I was in chemo. And I think because I was so committed and I put so much time and effort into it, that I really saw the benefits. Now, you're not going to see the benefits straight away, but after 6 months, my skin really started to transform. In fact, like before I got sick, no one ever told me that I had nice skin. And now people say it to me all the time, and I feel very blessed. And I don't take that for granted. Like, I love when people tell me that because I've put so much work into it. My skincare routine is very strict at the moment. I remember I read this blog by Caroline Hirons before, and she said going out without moisturizer is like going out without your coat on. And that always sticks with me. Like, I'll never, ever put on makeup without moisturizer. So I'm using a product called Illumine at the moment. Dr. Adele Wood gave it to me. I was on the Environ before that, but I've switched to Illumine, and I found that my skin got worse when I got on that for a couple of weeks. And now it's really broken through, and I feel like it's a lot clearer. It's really hydrated looking, and I love it. I really do. I switch up my moisturizers quite a bit, and I do use a glycolic acid every second night. And I just try to just eat well, drink loads of water. Also, I've started using SPF every day, which I never did before. Very bold. But yes, Dr. Adele Woods sat me down and gave me a good talking to about SPF and the importance of it. So I have the Illumine Factor 50 that I wear every day. And then I have my glow products. Amy Connolly has a gorgeous base with a glow in it. And then Charlotte Tilbury have this amazing product that you put on under your foundation that my sister-in-law Julie bought me. And it's literally amazing. It makes you glow. Will you go back to having short hair? Yes, I definitely will. I was so blessed to get Kira Lambert, the absolute queen of hair extensions, to do my hair extensions for me. She reached out to me when I shaved my head and said that she'd do them for me, and she kept her promise, and I really appreciated that. And I've absolutely loved having long hair for the summer, and it's really made me feel like back to myself. But I will go back to having short hair because I loved having short hair. Just wasn't all the same length, which I found very difficult. But now it's grown down quite a bit. And you know what? I probably will still have extensions in it. Like, I use the great lengths extensions, and you can have them in with a really short bob. I think Rosie Connolly has a really short bob at the moment with hair extensions in. Looks fab. So I'll probably keep the hair extensions, but go shorter. Are you happy you got Botox? Yes, I am delighted that I got Botox. So it's something that I was thinking about for years. And then I got sick, so obviously I wasn't thinking that way. And as I was getting better, Emer, Vary and Barry put me in touch with Adele Woods, and I went into her studio in Ranelagh, and it's called the Aura Skin Clinic. And I went in there, and she's like, you know, such an uber professional, totally knows what she's doing. And I really trusted her. So if anyone was going to do my Botox, it was going to be her. So she put a tiny bit in about 2 months ago into my frown line. And I honestly just have felt so much fresher since. I'm really happy with the results. I think it looks really natural. So yeah, I don't regret it for one second. I thought really long and hard about it. And I was a bit scared to tell Jamie when I came home. I told him afterwards, because I didn't want him to like think that I like lost the run of myself. But you know what? I don't feel guilty for getting it. I think I really wanted to be honest about it as well and not hide it. So I did go on Instagram and like announce it, which was awkward because people were probably like, why are you telling us this? But I just wanted to be very like real about it. I don't regret it for one second. And I do think that it's made me look less tired and fresher. Dream guests for season 5. I have a few in the pipeline. I was on to Vogue Williams last week, so she is going to do one for me. I love her. I think she's an absolute queen. And we used to work together in Spin years and years ago. So Vogue is going to do one. You can expect to hear her on season 5. I'm going to reach out to Denise Kenny and ask her to come on. I suppose I'm publicly asking her now. She's probably going to kill me, but we're in touch a lot. She makes me laugh so much. I love her content, and she's just such a genuine person. So she is definitely one of my dream guests for season 5. And of course, I'm always open to suggestions. I'm hoping I'm going to get loads of people when they're home for Christmas to record with me, because I am taking a little bit of a break now until January just to take a bit of me time. You know what? I might come out with a bonus episode around Christmas time. So keep your eyes peeled for that. I won't be gone for too long. And I do have a very exciting project planned for the new year. So keep your eyes on my Instagram page for more on that. thank you so much for listening this season. It's been the absolute dream for me to have this season sponsored by Fitbit. Thank you to them for all the support. Like, sometimes I still can't believe when I'm sitting at my desk and thinking, you know, will I start a podcast, to have it sponsored by Fitbit and to be doing all these amazing things and talking to all these amazing people. I feel so blessed every day, but I couldn't have done it without you guys, the listeners, and all the support, and you guys telling your friends about it and sharing my podcast in your WhatsApp group. Like, I appreciate it so, so, so much. I hope everyone has a really nice time in the lead up to Christmas. You can keep up with me on Instagram at georgie.crawford, and as always, I'm always open to suggestions for season 5, so make sure to keep in touch. Before I go, I just wanted to dedicate season 5 to a friend called Jenny Taff. She's been on my mind this whole season. She lost her battle with cancer this summer, and she is somebody who I always checked in with, and she always checked in with me, and we really felt like we were in it together, and we took inspiration from each other. I always took amazing inspiration from her words and her attitude to her cancer and to life. So I wanted to dedicate this season to Jenny, and her words, "Always forward," will live on forever. Thanks for listening to the Good Glow podcast, with thanks to Fitbit. If you're enjoying this podcast, please hit the subscribe button and leave a review. For more on my story, you can follow me on Instagram at georgie.crawford.